This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Dr. Cornelia Gibson, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist and clinical director of Agape Counseling Center and Network in Northern California. Her passion is in providing mentoring and training for mental health clinicians and students as we render culturally competent counseling for members of our community. Dr. Gibson, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you today. Oh my God. By the way, what a coincidence. We're in Mental Health Month, right? May is known for mental health.
Yes.
I am so thrilled to have you. Wow. Okay. Before we begin, jump into your practice and that's mental health, I would love to learn how and why you got inspired to do what you're doing today.
Okay. Well, my journey is, it's really a personal journey. I was a teen mother, and at that time, I felt like I didn't have a lot of support, and I just kept thinking that whenever, you know, I just wanted to give back to my community. I started mentoring teen girls. So this one agency took me on as a mentor, and I just said, if I found my passion and would do it for free, then I knew it was my passion. And so I started mentoring at this one agency, and it was one day when I was receiving an award from them, actually, this one psychologist came up to me and he says, Cornelia, you're here to receive an award. Why don't you just go back to school and get your degree so you can get paid for this? And I said, you know, I just have a regular job. I can't afford to go back to school. And at that time, a lot of companies had a lot of money, and I was working for a major telecommunications company. And he says, why don't you check with them and see if they would pay? And I did. They paid for my bachelor's degree in psychology. And then I immediately, as soon as I finished my bachelor's degree, I went on and got my master's degree. And then without taking but one semester off, I went straight for my doctorate degree, and it was the best thing I could have done. I went back at a later age though, so I didn't go back, you know, right after high school, but it was the best thing that I could have done.
That's so inspiring. I've been thinking about getting my doctorate for so long, but I really don't know in my field other than teaching what I could be doing, you know, business and marketing. I have an MBA. Just like, what can I do with a doctorate? But I know I want to get it so bad. I want to write my own thesis. And it's just, it's inspiring to hear that. So as a single mom, you managed to do all of this, correct?
I sure did. I'm not going to lie and say it was easy, but as you can see, it was doable.
Wow. So mental health is clearly your focus, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. Talk about, you know, I read your bio and so inspiring. And clearly you had your own challenges and your own journey with mental health. And so that inspired you to focus on it. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So I thought I was doing really well. I had two jobs. I was a counselor at a junior college. And I considered that job to pay my bills. It was a part-time job that paid my bills, single mother of two sons at home at that time. And then I had a part-time job, another part-time job of working in a girls' home for teenage mothers. Wow. And so when I thought things were just going well, I said I was going to open up a private practice on the side. And so what I thought was going to be a side business where I would work maybe once a week in a private practice. Well, that changed one day when I was on my way to my job at the college. My vision changed seemingly drastically. I literally prayed myself to work. I prayed myself on the way home, driving home. I did not go back to that job because my vision had changed so much. And within that same week, I had two other symptoms. I'll say I had a weird headache is what I call it. And then one night I was getting up to go to the bathroom and I couldn't even make it to my bathroom. I laid on my floor. And that following Monday, I called my doctor and reported all three of those things to her. And she says, you know what, Cornelia, you've been complaining about a headache for a long time. Let's just do an MRI. And so we had an MRI done and it turned out that I had a tumor. So I had a brain tumor. So like I said, I had already just chose not to drive back to the college because I couldn't drive. I indirectly lost my job at the girls' home, the teen mother's home. And so what I thought was going to be a cush side one day a week job had to become my full-time job to support my sons. And so I went into it with that attitude, like it has to be full-time. And so it took me about a year to build up my private practice full-time. But what was so encouraging in the very beginning, I had a couple of clients who were coming to me through their EAP, which they get maybe 5 or 6 sessions. And so again, this was my first time doing this by myself or in my own business. I told both of those clients when their sessions was over, I said, you know what? I know you need more than 5 sessions, but you know, I can't let you go because I know that you need more sessions. And they said, but we can't afford to pay you. Both of them individually said that. And I said, you know what? God is telling me to just go ahead and provide you with the services. And I kid you not. The first time I said that, right after her appointment, that first person's appointment, I was driving about a few blocks away over to my church because I do counseling, free counseling at my church as well. Soon as I pull in the parking lot, I got a phone call for 3 paid clients. And I'm like, oh, wow. So that happened. And then, like I say, about a week later with the second person, I told her the same thing, you know, just come on back. It's okay. And she basically said the same thing. I can't pay you. And then I kid you not, I was leaving my office right after her appointment. And there was this lady downstairs looking at the marquee. And I said, can I help you find someone here? And she says, yes, I'm looking for Dr. Gibson. And I said, I'm Dr. Gibson. And she says, oh, I was referred to you for my 2 daughters. And so both of those times when I said I was going to give free services turned into 5 paid clients. And really, I don't want to make it, it really was, I want to say it was that easy because my private practice just really took off. And somewhere along the way, I started teaching, or as I was building that private practice, I took on a part-time job teaching at the University of Phoenix, which was totally out of my comfort zone. So I had a friend drive me to the University of Phoenix because my vision again, so she would drive me and pick me up. But in one of my classes there, my students were complaining that here it is, I'm teaching this field experience class, but they didn't have a place to go to actually gain their hours for counseling. And I told them, I said, if I'm ever in a position to open a counseling center, I'm going to open a counseling center for students like you so that you can have a place to do your hours, complete your hours after hours. And a few years later, my private practice was full and I just opened up a counseling center and it is thriving to this day.
That's incredible. And you did all this while you had brain tumor.
Yes, this was all in the process of having that brain tumor. Yes.
And I'm hoping that it was a benign tumor.
It was a benign tumor. Okay. And I felt symptoms every once in a while. The headaches would come and go. I had a few other symptoms. But I will say, you know, if you want me to fast forward to, so the tumor was detected in 2011. And so my doctor chose to just monitor it because they knew it was benign. Well, I did have a choice to have it removed at that time, but I chose to just have them monitor it due to the size. Mm-hmm. And it was considered a slow growing tumor. And about July of last year, I started having a lot more symptoms. Hmm. And so with the MRI that I had in July of last year, my doctor told me it was time to have the tumor removed. And so still, you know, in my private practice, not really telling anyone what was going on, just kept it pushing. And so last December, so we decided on a date, or we decided to go on with the surgery. And last December, within a 1 week period, I got some really good news. So it may not look like it, but I have grandchildren and I have great grandchildren. And what I've been wanting for 4 years was a five generation birthday picture, or just a five generation picture, period. And so with my surgery looming, my daughter and my sons surprised me. And I went over to my mom's house just to spend my birthday with her. And all five generations was there under one roof. Yes. And they did this for me, you know, a week before my surgery. And then I also was nominated during that week for an NAACP Presidential Medal Award in Health for my work in the community in mental health. And I was also contacted by the Tamron Hall Show for the same thing, all in that same week. And a week later, I had my surgery.
And you're healthy now, doing great. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I took no pain pills. I've taken nothing or medication or anything since I came home. I still have a bottle of my controlled substances right here in my medicine cabinet, unopened, pain, no nothing. And I went back to work as soon as I could. I won't say what date because my doctor told me to stay off for a long time, but I went back a little sooner than that.
Well, you're needed. You're clearly, oh my God. Wow. That's so inspiring to go through so much. I mean, someone else would have stopped working and created so much commotion and thought they were dying, but someone like you are just, what's the secret? How did you stay so positive and strong?
I honestly say that it really, really is my faith in God. It really is. I went into the surgery with zero. My children, anybody around me will tell you that I had zero worries. Talked to my pastor. He said, you know, it's okay to have some anxiety. Anxiety and faith can reside together. And I told him, I get it. And I know that, but I had none. I learned a long time ago that whatever I can't control, if it's something that's surrounding me, I need to just give it to God. And when I give it to God, I don't take it back. So I had given that situation to God a long time ago. So I really had no fears or none at all. But I can't say the same for my mom and other members of my family. So they had a hard time with it, and I get it. And I felt like I had to be strong for them, but I was really being strong for myself. But that's my way of life. It really is. I only have peace around me to the point of where I can control it.
I love that. And I think to a certain extent, you have to be that way if you're helping other people, right? Especially when you're helping them mentally, because it's just really difficult to control our thoughts. Our thoughts can control everything, and not just our mental well-being, but our bodies too. I know people that get into depression mode and then all of a sudden they have pain everywhere on their bodies, you know?
Absolutely. I had a client who told me, and she knows that I've shared this story, periodically, but several years ago, I had a client who came in and she said, you know, Dr. Gibson, I was really thinking about you last week after our session. And I said, why? And she says, I dumped so much on you. And she says, and I just started thinking how everybody else just comes in here and they dump on you and you must just leave here just trashed and take it home to your family. And I said, you know what? I really don't, but I'm gonna tell you what I do. I says, it's interesting you use the metaphor dump. Mm-hmm. I said, I want you and all of my clients to consider these four walls the dump. You dump all the stuff you want to in here. And I says, and at the end of the day, you know that dumpster outside? I dump all of you guys' stuff in the dumpster. So you get to go home free. I get to go home free and we're all good.
I love it. Oh my God, that's amazing advice. So let's talk a little bit about mental health. And I think I want to talk a little bit about small business owners specifically, because I feel like, and as a small business owner myself, I feel like it's been really challenging the last 2 years. Yes. You know, I've seen a lot of businesses being forced out of business, literally, because the LA County was closed forever and they wouldn't allow businesses to open up. And, you know, when you're being forced to close your doors, you cannot continue paying your bills while your business isn't generating revenue. And so I've seen a lot of depression among some of my peers and colleagues and just people in the business space, right? Like in entrepreneurs specifically. And it's such a difficult topic for them to talk about mental health, because, you know, entrepreneurs are supposed to be so strong and persistent and positive and all of that. And so sometimes it's difficult. And I find it difficult to talk about things in a negative way, because I feel like if I'm venting or complaining about something, then I'm almost jinxing myself and messing with my vision of where I want to be as an entrepreneur or where I want to take my business and so on. So there's this fine line of, you know, how do we deal with the mental frustration of the day-to-day running a business? And obviously you run your own practice, so you're very familiar what it takes to run a business. There are so many different hats we have to wear throughout the day, you know, be the bookkeeper, the accountant, at least until you start hiring people. But initially we do a lot of the different things. What advice do you have for people who might be suffering with, whether it's depression or some kind of a mental health that might've been caused, you know, by the pandemic or might've been caused by some of the challenges of just running a business?
Yes. I would first start by saying we're not alone. People are not alone by having those challenges. And of course the pandemic just added to it. And so knowing that you're not alone, hopefully will help people to be able to say it or share it more, basically not be so isolated and think that it's only happening to you or you're the only one that's feeling that way. And so what I also tell people is to externalize it. That's just a little quick tip about not keeping it inside, letting it out. So whether you share how you're feeling with a friend, whether you write it down, just anything to take it out of your brain, out of your head, put it on paper to get it out. So you're not just compacting it with other things. Then I say, you know, kind of realize that we have different roles. We can be mothers and business owners. And if your mental health isn't right, you're not going to be the best in any of your other areas. And I don't care what anybody says. If your mental health is good, then you can, you know, you'll be the best as a mom, as a business owner, as a dad, as a friend, as a sibling. But you need to really take care of the mental health. So if you feel something that's just not right, things are persisting over a week or two, can't quite shake things, you know, it's really time to reach out to a mental health professional just to be able to talk and get those out.
That's great advice. Is indecisiveness considered to be a mental health issue? if somebody's really indecisive and is unable to make decisions?
I would not say that indecisiveness alone is a mental health concern or a problem. It's only if that comes with some other things.
Got it. Wow. Yeah, I think in my case right now, I'm going through a phase where I'm a little indecisive on certain things. And I feel like it's not so much that maybe I'm tired. I'm lacking sleep because I have a 6-month-old baby. So it's probably that's affecting my decision-making process a little bit. But I feel like I have so many choices of different projects that I could be working on. And I want to take them on all at once and do them simultaneously. And then I realize that if I do that, I'm really going to be bad at everything. I'm not going to succeed and complete any one of them. You know, I might move them forward, you know, an inch, but that's as far as I'll go. And so then I'm just like sitting and waiting to make a decision. And I'm like, what am I waiting for? And you've mentioned God. And I think sometimes, you know, I get so deep into my business and the structure and the strategies and the tactics, where sometimes I forget to bring in God into the picture and say, God, just help me, lead me. You know, I just forget that God can be everywhere and help us in everything. And so thank you for bringing God. And just, it was like a light bulb moment where I was like, wait, I can just ask God to help me. But what other advice do you have for somebody like me who's you know, probably very sleepy and my brain is not at its optimal performance level. And sometimes I just feel overwhelmed and exhausted, but then it's just, I got to make decisions. I have to, what steps can I take to improve that?
Yeah, I would say maybe set aside a 30-minute period each day to mull over the different projects that you have. So you set aside a time to make those decisions or think about those decisions, what's going into those decisions. And the point about setting aside a time so that you're not consumed with it during the rest of the day. So you're kind of prioritizing, you're telling your brain, I'm gonna think about this, but I'm gonna do it at this particular time. And then during that time, you think about the pros and the cons and which one should come first. Not saying that you can't do everything, but like you said, trying to do everything at once can be overwhelming. And sometimes you might not be your best at any of them, like you said, if you take on too much, but kind of prioritizing them. And don't be afraid to seek help from those who are close to you who can help you make decisions and just really, you know, instead of letting it consume you all the time, set aside some time to think about it and then maybe even give yourself a deadline.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Great advice. I wish I had you for longer time, Dr. Gibson. It's been such a pleasure. Where can the listeners get a hold of you if they want to work with you or learn more about you and your center?
Okay, I'm at Dr. Dr. Cornelia on Facebook and on Twitter. So that's Dr. and then Cornelia.
Amazing. And we'll have the information in our show notes too. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.